It's Bon Jovi, It's My Life, River 1467. Good morning, Jace, with you at 22 to 9 and joining me in the studio, editor of Mildura Weekly, John Dooley. Good morning to you, John.
Morning, Jason. How are you?
Let me just open your microphone. There we go. That may help. Good morning,
good
John.
Good morning.
Great to have you in on the public holiday.
Indeed. Lovely to be here with you at a little more civilised hour.
Yeah, exactly. They're usually a bit earlier. Hey, just quickly, you were listening to Jaden Forster's coverage of entertainment and you, Jaden covered Denise Drysdale being in hospital. You're a good friend.
Yeah, look, I didn't know until I heard on the news, really. So I sent a text to Denise and she lives in Queensland and she came back and I'd also reference, commiserations for Ernie Sigley's passing because they were a close knit duo for many years, and she sent back a reply. She said, "Yeah." She said, "I think that demon in my head, referring to the illness, might have been old Ern at work."
Oh yeah, right. Okay.
she's a real character.
Yeah, she's a character, isn't she?
Yeah, lovely person, Denise.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, let's get to this week's publication front page. Battle fatigue. That's the headline. Bridge patrols necessary but very tiring, and they are tiring, aren't they?
Yeah, look, I think people have been patient, but if you're crossing each day, you know, if you live in Golgol, for example, coming into Mildura to work, having to be checked, you know, not all the time, it's a random thing, but it has been tiring for all concerned, but particularly the police. And I particularly wanted to give reference to the hard work they perform. Most of them are from out of district, you know, typically from Melbourne or Geelong. And, you know, Beck Olsen, the superintendent up here, she said, you know, they've just been overwhelmed by the kindness that they've received from the public. So, you know, our people are very respectful of our police officers, I think, and they understand they're doing their job. We all get a little bit frustrated, but they've been performing a very important role. And, look, we don't want people from outer regions coming to Sunraysia. And, sadly, there have been people amongst the 1,000 vehicles a day that are being checked. There have been, I think, 300 cautions.
Yeah.
And there may have been some penalty notices. They don't have that information readily to give out. But
My experience has been wonderful. I haven't had a single event where there's been any antagonistic approach to me. It's just been very easy coming through each day.
Yeah, look, they've handled it well. And, I mean, it's better than it was, if you remember, last year when the New South Wales border closed to Victoria, every vehicle was being stopped. It was, you know, hard work.
Like a movie.
Both ways, you know.
Yeah. Another big story through the weekend, you covered this in this week's paper, Sedka's statement has caused all sorts of controversy in the region. You know, I think you heard yesterday morning he was on the Brekkie show and gave some sort of an apology, or an apology, I guess, depends which way you look at it. Anne Webster, on a little earlier on, she didn't think it was much of an apology, but what's your take on it?
Look, I think it was probably was an off-the-cuff remark from John. Yeah. I know he's a bit of a character, and that's putting it mildly. And I think after he'd said that, it wasn't a personal thing. But he was more, I think, being disparaging of those people that have got amongst his CFMEU workers who probably entitled to protest at not being able to work. But I have no doubt that these demonstrations have been infiltrated by some professional agitators, quite possibly, the likes of Antifa, and they're very well organised.
Okay, you reckon that's...
Yeah, well, I don't have any evidence of that,
right.
But, it reminded me of the Capitol Hill being stormed in America. Those Trump supporters were infiltrated by Antifa, who stirred that whole thing up.
Yeah,
and that was pretty much acknowledged. But look, no, I think Mr. Sedka would, you know, regret having said that. He certainly wouldn't be trying to put the workers who come and pick our fruit down or our growers.
No.
And look, he probably regrets saying it. It was a little bit of a moderated apology, I agree, but he did nonetheless. I think the fact that he came on and was prepared to talk to you shows that, you know, he's probably...
He's a diversive character. I mean, he is quite a character that can... I mean, things he says are going to rub people up the wrong way, and it's been like that his whole life, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that's his trademark.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. But it's interesting what you say about the... What do you think about the Melbourne protest? I want to just come back to that. You're mentioning Antifa.
Well, I think there's disgusted, shocked and dismayed. I think Anne made some very good points in regard to why these things are happening, and that's, you know, related to COVID and the restrictions we've all been under and so on. But look, what if everybody decided to go out and behave like that? You know, that's called anarchy, what we've been seeing, and you can't have society tipped on its side like that. But, you know, turning up on the Westgate Bridge and making disparaging remarks about John Sector's father, who died in the accident when that
collapsed. Well, no, he didn't die. He actually survived.
He survived.
But there was 35 people died on that day. John's father was one that survived.
Yeah. He was up close to it. That's right. Yeah, and I think they, you know, reference that. So they may well have gone there with that in view. But to go to the Shrine of Remembrance, again, I think there was a deliberate tactical move to, you know, have the rest of us look on and say, you know, how disgraceful, and highlight their cause. There's no excuse for that sort of behaviour under any circumstances, and puts the police in a very difficult position.
It does,
because they don't like using force. We're not like that in this country. But to get to the stage where rubber bullets were necessary and tear gas, you wonder where we're all going.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get back to this week's publication, this week's paper, Waiting for Mildura's Passenger Rail Report. All right, seriously, is this ever going to happen?
Oh, look, a fast train, what I call a fast train, a velocity train that could travel at 120 kilometres an hour, is really what you want if you want a proper passenger rail service that would be viable and used. That's a long way away, if ever, because there are 138, I think it is, level crossings between here and Maryborough. Now, trains can only, under the regulations now, travel through those crossings at 50 kilometres an hour, unless they're a properly, boom gate type flashing light crossing.
Yep.
So there's the first problem. To rectify all of that, you're looking at $300 or $400 million, plus you've got to upgrade stations, plus you have to put in passing loops so that the freight and passenger rail can pass each other. And we still haven't had the Murray Basin Rail Project completed.
I know, that's a disaster.
So... look, it's a romantic idea that I support, and I'd love to use it. Door to door by rail would be absolutely brilliant. You could do it in about, less than five hours, and it would be great.
It'd be easier than, I mean, if it was, if we did have it, it'd be fantastic, because, I mean, it wouldn't be much longer than the plane flight.
No, and you're right in town. You have a lovely trip down, have breakfast or lunch on board and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
It'd be fabulous. Ali Cupper had the idea that, you could have a sort of a tourist train that could run within the speed limits. It would take a long time to come up here. That's a different concept, and if that could get off the ground, it'd be lovely. There's been a lot of attempts to get those sort of touristy rail ideas going in other parts of Victoria, and they don't seem to ever get off the ground properly. But we need a rail service, I think.
Yep.
But honestly, if you go down and wait on the platform for the passenger rail to come into Mildura, you'll be waiting for a long time.
Okay, fair enough. All right, I just want to quickly cover the historical pumps that will be coming to life this Sunday. What a great thing to take place.
Oh, look, if you haven't been out to Psyche Pumps, it's a must-do. Again, we often talk about playing tourists in our own town. Well, here's another example. They have these fairly infrequent opening days. But, look, it's just fantastic. The volunteers out there do a brilliant job. It's well worth a visit. And, of course, those pumps started the irrigation district providing water to vineyards in 1891, I think they started. And they were still part of the system up until 1959, amazingly. And, really, really a good day out, family day out. Go on your own. It's only $5 an adult, $3 a child, and family tickets $15. So,
and they were actually designed by George Chafee himself. Is that right?
They were the pump that you can see in the paper that was manufactured in England. I just forgotten the name of the company, but the Chafee brothers had done what they came to Mildura to do in California before they came. They were actually Canadians, and they created irrigation districts in California.
Yeah.
And so those pumps were made in England, and the same thing happened here.
So we've got, there's two of them. There's one down on the riverfront, of
one
course.
One of the other pumps is on the, That's right.
So everyone knows that one. So if you want to see that one work this coming Sunday, you want 11 o'clock.
Yeah, and they've got the boiler rooms too there. It's a really fun day out.
Yep.
The road in there is not brilliant. that's another story for another day.
Same, all right. John Dooley, it's always wonderful to have you in the studio and appreciate you coming through on the our public holiday here, of course, for the grand final weekend. Okay, you're going for Bulldogs, is that correct?
No, incorrect. I'm going for the Demons. When I say I'm not a Demons fan, I follow Essendon and I'm sort of a de facto Swans follower as well, after having lived in Sydney for many years and my son follows them. But my best mates in Melbourne, they are mad Demon supporters and I'd love to see them get up for them. But I'll tell you what, those doggies will be hard to beat.
Oh, that's good, yeah. Hey, once again, great to have you in the studio. We'll do it all again next week.
Thanks, Josh.
River 1467's Buy and Sell. Every